What is speciesism? Sorry, can't see. Speciesism is the supremacist worldview by human beings towards other species. It is the belief that other species are inferior and is used to defend their mistreatment and exploitation. This toxic mindset is ingrained in our society and it results in misery for billions of animals. One such area is farmed animals, the practice of raising animals for human use, primarily for food. There are an estimated 9 billion land animals raised and killed every year in the United States. 9 billion. Many of these animals are subjected to near unimaginable cruelty, much of which is perfectly legal under current law. Cows, pigs, chickens, and other animals are separated from their families, branded, mutilated, kept in filthy, crowded sheds, and trucked to slaughterhouses to be slaughtered. These animals are sentient beings. They are capable of experiencing emotions and subjective states like joy, pleasure, fear, and pain. I was a vegetarian for about 20 years and became vegan about 8 years ago after learning about the dairy industry. Normally, a cow would live 20 to 25 years. A dairy cow lives 4 to 7 years. When her milk production slows down, she is sold as beef. The cow's baby is taken away within a few hours of being born, if not immediately. This is to steal her milk for human consumption. We are the only species that drinks the milk of another species. Mothers and babies cry and bellow for weeks because they are separated. Usually it takes 10 months for a baby to be weaned naturally from its mother. Dairy cows are manually impregnated again so they will continue to give milk. Females are turned into dairy cows and males are taken away to be isolated in pods or sheds, not allowed to move around, and are sold as veal. Most animals today are raised on factory farms. Factory farms prioritize profit over the welfare of animals. Not only do they inflict considerable suffering on animals, they significantly impact the environment through deforestation, greenhouse gas emissions, biodiversity loss, and water and air pollution. The good news is we do not have to participate in this cruelty. We all have a choice of what we eat, wear, and buy. Veal consumption has decreased over the years because people know how cruel it is. We can avoid dairy products as well. They won't create as many cows if they are not making money. There are many non-dairy items in the stores today. My favorite is chickpea milk, garbanzo beans. It has 10 grams of protein in a cup, which is more than cow's milk. Plant-based diets can be very healthy. They are lower in saturated fat, cholesterol, and calories, and higher in fiber, vitamins, and minerals. This can lead to numerous health benefits, including heart health, weight management, and reduced risk of chronic diseases. Also, a plant-based diet is better for the environment. In many parts of the world, they are tearing out the forest to grow plants to feed cattle. It takes 1,800 gallons of water to produce 1 pound of beef. We need the water and plants to feed people. In our UU affirmation, we state, to live in peace with respect for all beings, and we care for all life on earth. I believe that raising animals for human use is not respectful and caring. My goal is to speak for those who have no voice. I believe they have the right to be heard. Just because they are a different species does not mean that they do not count. Do it for your health. Do it for the environment, and do it for the animals. May it be so.
I'm Glenda Nowakowski, and I'm going to talk today about ocean creatures, namely coral reefs. Coral reefs are a vital ecosystem in the ocean. They take up 0.1% of the ocean's surface, yet contain 25% of all the species in the ocean. These species include invertebrates such as mollusks, worms, sponges, and sea anemones. Seabirds, sharks, dolphins, and over 4,000 species of fish depend on coral reefs for food and/or shelter. Most coral reefs are in shallow tropical waters. Corals are tiny invertebrate animals covered with a shell of calcium carbonate, think eggshell, bound together in reefs. Their color comes from the algae in a mutually beneficial relationship with them. The algae use photosynthesis to make food and oxygen for the coral. The coral provides shelter and some carbon dioxide for the algae. Coral reefs provide food and habitat for many species. Coral reefs also have great economic value. They are important for tourism and fisheries and protect shorelines from erosion during storms. Their economic value has been estimated to be from $30 to $375 billion. The threats to coral reefs include climate change, pollution, and microplastics. As the planet warms, so does the ocean. When the ocean warms, the water cannot hold as much oxygen as cooler water, which can create dead zones in the ocean. Fish will leave warmer waters for cooler waters, which disrupts both the previous ecosystem and the new one. Rising sea levels from climate change result in more sediment washing into the ocean, which can bury and smother the reefs. Stronger and more frequent storms damage the coral reefs and cause runoff of more land pollutants. These pollutants, such as lawn chemicals, fertilizer, and sewage waste, can cause overgrowth of algae called algae blooms. This growth decreases the light and oxygen coming into the coral reefs and harms the algae bound to the reef. When the coral loses its algae, this is called bleaching and can be fatal to the coral reef. Some algae blooms secrete substances toxic to fish. Changes in ocean currents can also disrupt the coral reef ecosystem. The ocean absorbs about 25% of the greenhouse gases in the air. Absorbing too much carbon dioxide makes the water more acidic. Acidic water slows the growth of coral and can dissolve the calcium carbonate shell of the coral. It can also interfere with formation of skeletons and shells in other organisms. Microplastics have been found in every part of the coral reef ecosystem. The coral ingests microplastics and they become full without getting enough nutrition. Also, dealing with the particles takes energy away from important life processes such as health maintenance and reproduction. Microplastics can also worsen the effect of other stressors, such as the heat and bleaching caused by climate change. Microplastics and larger pieces of plastics can introduce invasive microorganisms into the reef, causing disease. The coral's microbiome is vital to its health, and disruptions are harmful to the coral. Fish and other inhabitants of the reef also ingest microplastics and can be harmed in similar ways. The effects multiply going up the food chain. What can we do? You can help coral reefs by decreasing your carbon footprint. Drive less, reduce, reuse, and recycle. Buy energy-efficient appliances and light bulbs, print less, download more, and use less water. Specific things you can do for the ocean and coral reefs include reducing lawn and garden chemicals, no household chemicals in the storm drains, buying sustainable seafood, better yet, go plant-based, and participating in beach and waterway cleanups. If you dive, practice good reef etiquette. Also, reduce your use of plastic, especially single-use items. Certain chemicals in sunscreen can harm coral reefs and other forms of marine life. Consider wearing sun-blocking clothing while at the beach and use sunscreens containing zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, which are safer for marine life. I got most of this information from the EPA, NOAA, and NIH websites. All these agencies are under attack by the current administration. Please consider contacting your elected officials and stressing the importance of preserving these agencies. Thank you.
First, I want... Lynn Planbeck, and I'm a longtime conservationist in this valley, over three decades probably, so many of you already know me. That's why I forgot to say my name. But I want to begin by thanking Ingrid for reinvigorating the animal ministry and for doing this, having the idea of doing this service, because I love getting up here and listening to others talk about these issues and being able to talk to you about them. So imagine a world with no... Oh, I'm going to talk about endangered animals. So I want you to begin by imagining a world with no elephants, tigers, and lions. And, of course, these are animals that we, really iconic large mammals that we think of in Africa. And sometimes people say endangered species and it just is kind of a scientific term and they think, oh, well, that's something far away. Well, it's not. I mean, we have in Santa Clarita Valley, we are have a river that runs through it, the Santa Clara River, and that river is a hot spot for over 20 endangered and threatened animals and birds and fish. Yes, we have a little tiny fish. And the importance of having those endangered species is not only to have our interconnected web of life, which is something that I so love the Unitarians for. It's why I'm here. But also, it helps protect us. As Glenda was saying, when you threaten these animals, you threaten yourself. For instance, one of the ways that we are able to make sure we have a sustainable water supply in this community is because we have our little iconic unarmored three-spine stickleback in the river, which they are not allowed to harm. So in order to have not harm that fish, they have to have enough water. When they have enough water for the fish, they will have enough water for the people. When the water is clean enough to support the life of the fish and other animals, and the air is clean enough, it's clean enough for humans too. So these endangered species are really helping all of us. And, you know, I want to say, because of habitat loss, I don't know if you're familiar with Cornell University did a study on birds a few years ago and found that we've lost 2.9 billion birds in North America. They've just disappeared. And why have they disappeared? They don't have the habitat. They don't have the seeds. They don't have the food. They don't have the insects. And why don't they? Because we are using these terrible pesticides. We're destroying everything in open space. And then we replant it with something that they can't eat. So one of the reasons I've worked so hard to protect, for instance, oak trees, an oak tree and trees in general are often a baseline species for a number of animals that depend on them. And they depend on them for shade and nesting and food and all kinds of things. So if you get rid of those, you're going to get rid of a whole ecosystem of life in this valley. So it's important not to be cutting trees down, not to be destroying native plants. And the other really iconic creature in California, of course, is our salmon in Northern California. And again, it's habitat loss and make the dams that block their runs and the fact that the temperature on the rivers has to be cold or if it's too warm, the salmon just die. So habitat is a big, big issue. And of course, in Southern California, we have our mountain lion that we've been working really hard on trying to maintain wildlife corridors for the animals, which are a means of moving back and forth between mountain ranges so that they can get to food and water. So I just want to quickly go through what you can do. Of course, you can put natives in your garden. You can make sure there's like a bird fountain so that there's water accessible. And don't use pesticides. And the other thing I want to reiterate, exactly what Glenda said, our current administration is really attacking our conservation issues that we've developed over now 50 years. We just celebrated the Endangered Species Act last year. And right now, you could go home and Google U.S. Fish and Wildlife comment on endangered species. They are trying to change the definition of harm for endangered species. And what they want to do is say that you can harm their habitat. Well, animals need a place to live that's safe, and they need to be able to nest and drink water and gather food. And if you destroy their habitat, you are destroying them. So this is kind of a backdoor way of destroying the Endangered Species Act. Right now, there's about 200,000 comments on there. So if you have time to just go home and Google it, it's a very easy form that you can just fill in. Just Google U.S. Forest Service and Endangered Species Act. Don't change the definition of harm, because animals need a place to live, and we need to help them have that.
Good morning. I'm Emily Larbouy, and I'm going to be speaking to you about domesticated animals. Pets are usually silent companions, and they ask for nothing in return. Another perspective is that they continually give back love, affection, devotion, and playfulness, if they're a certain age. Before adopting an animal, one should critically consider if they have the time, attention, and resources to give. Animal shelters will work with you by putting a hold on an animal with a small deposit until you are ready to take them home. In Santa Clarita, we have Castaic Shelter and the Robert T. Bratnell Possibilities Foundation for cats and dogs. And at the Castaic Shelter, they also handle tortoises and birds, in case you didn't know. And you can help solve the problem of animal repopulation by getting your pet spayed or neutered. Believe it or not, the city of Santa Clarita residents can get low-cost spay-neuter services for their pets every Monday at the mobile clinic located in the parking lot of the Newhall Convention Center? Community Center, thank you. The Newhall Community Center is located at 22401 Market Street, Newhall. The clinic is in partnership with the LA County Department of Animal Care and Control and Simi Valley Nonprofit Spay and Neuter Clinic. To schedule a spay or neuter appointment, residents can call 805-584-3823. Back in 2017, when I was still being a journalist, I wrote a lot of articles for the Santa Clarita Magazine, and I did write one about Castaic Shelter, and some of the quotes from that I think are interesting. French poet and journalist Anatole France said, "Until one has lost an animal, a part of one's soul remains unawakened." And then civil rights leader Mahatma Gandhi took it one step further by stating, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated." So our shelter dog, Jackson, has increased my family and our quality of life 100%. I look forward to our walks, belly rubs, paw shakes, and the interesting nonverbal communication. So, thank you. One more statistic. I'm sorry, I almost forgot. In my article back in 2017, I stated that approximately 5,500 animals were taken in at the Castaic Shelter. And they don't have the statistic for 2024, but I do know nationwide it's 5.3 million pets are taken in to shelters each year.
So I just want to add one more thing here at the end. The social and environmental justice team and the animal ministry are joining together to watch a presentation of the UU Animal Ministry called Fork to Forest, Why We Can't Change the Climate Crisis Without Changing How We Eat. I'll give some details. Our current system of animal agriculture generates as much greenhouse gas as the entire transportation sector. But no one is talking about it. Even if we stopped using fossil fuels today, emissions from our food system would still cause the Earth to exceed targets. So there's a lively presentation where they will discuss our food system's underappreciated climate and environmental impact. Learn actions you can take at your very next meal to start changing things for the better. This is a presentation by Anna Larson and Nicola Philpott, and we're going to watch a recording of the presentation on the fifth Sunday in June. We have a fifth Sunday presentation usually by the SCJ team. So this on Sunday, June 29th, 29th after the service, we're going to watch this recording of Fork to Forest, and I've seen it, and it's very informative. And as they say in the presentation, Meatless Mondays is not going to cut it. We need to do a lot more. Thank you.